Zephaniah, Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi, as we finish up here, the Old Testament. You say, preacher, why are we in the book of Zephaniah? It's because that's the next prophet that I wanted to preach to you about. And the Lord just laid on my heart here this year that this is a time that we need to meet the prophets. It's a shame how many times that we are just simply skipping over and we don't ever get to some of these. And so I'm taking some times on Sunday nights here for us to meet each and every one of the prophets. And tonight, here our final Sunday of the year, I thought I would introduce us to the prophet Zephaniah. So if you have your Bibles there, Zephaniah chapter 2, and beginning in verse number 1, the Bible says this, "Gather yourselves together, yea, gather together, O nation not desired. Before the decree bring forth, before the day passes the chaff, before the fierce anger of the Lord come upon you, before the day of the Lord's anger come upon you, seek ye the Lord, all ye meek of the earth, which have wrought his judgment. Seek righteousness, seek meekness. It may be ye shall be hid in the day of the Lord's anger." As we learned recently, it's important in time of storm to find a shelter. You know, with the storms that I think most recently came through the midsection, especially Kentucky, areas of Missouri, Illinois, those sections, those tornadoes were devastating, and especially as long as they were on the ground, and just the devastation, I think to some of the towns and some of the sections where that 220-mile path, destruction everywhere. You know, it's always difficult to know what to do. I think in my life, there's been one time that I've actually seen a tornado off in the distance. I was actually working. I was in college. We were working in a warehouse, and I can remember I was on the east side of the building, and I happened to look out there, and I saw the tornado, and I alerted somebody, and we didn't have the sirens going off yet, but we all sought shelter. It's important. One of the interesting stories that came out of the devastating Kentucky tornado was the situation that happened. I heard that there was this situation where they actually had been in a shelter, and then all of a sudden, the siren, everything was calm. And so they left the shelter, and a couple of hours later, of course, the devastation returned, and there were several people that actually died. And who knows, maybe they would have been killed anyways, maybe not. But it's during these times when it's foggy, when you're not sure what to do, but I can tell you that it's always wise to stay in shelter in time of storm. 140 years ago, it was the British pastor named Vernon John Charlesworth that was writing one of the great hymns in our hymn book. Along with Ira Sankey, he wrote the hymn, and it became very famous, especially there in England, especially around the coast where they'd have the cliffs, and they would oftentimes see the storm surge. And so Vernon John Charlesworth wrote the hymn, "The Lord's Our Rock. In Him we hide a shelter in time of storm. Secure whatever ill betide, a shelter in this time of storm." You know, that's all good, by the way, whenever you are going through a storm that is maybe like a trial. And, you know, it's good to know the Lord during those times. We, you know, even heard testimony here tonight. But what about the storm of God's judgment? You know, God sometimes brings judgment upon people. And that's where Zephaniah comes in. Now, I preached a message a few months ago from this book called Zephaniah's Song. But I thought it more worthy here tonight to just simply go through this book and give you a little bit more of some nuggets of some things that, especially in the day and age in which we live, it's been on my heart and on my mind here that, folks, we are living in the last days of the last days, and we'd better get ready. We'd better be sure. We'd better know some things, and we'd better make sure about our families and our friends and just everybody that they know the Lord. Therefore, tonight, let's consider Zephaniah. Now, who is Zephaniah? Go to Zephaniah chapter 1 and verse number 1, because we have an interesting introduction. And by the way, sometimes when you're reading your Bibles, it would help you to maybe, underline some things that seem curious, that seem interesting, and go and study them. It's okay for you to do that. And as many of you do, you can contact Pastor Clear. And I may not know, but I'll find out the answer for you. But such is this first verse, because it's important. Notice, "The word of the Lord, which came unto Zephaniah, the son of Cushai, the son of Gedaliah, the son of Amariah, the son of," and here's an important name, "Hizkiah, in the days of Josiah, the son of Ammon, king of Judah. Now, that's quite a lengthy introduction. Why in the world does he drop all of those names? Well, the name Hezekiah is a variation of another name you would know, Hezekiah. It's the same name. In other words, Zephaniah, he's actually related to. He goes back some four generations earlier. He says, listen, my great-great-grandfather was this man, Hezekiah. And so Zephaniah, he prophesies in the days of Josiah. And Josiah, by the way, is also a great-great-grandson of Hezekiah. And so he's basically dropping names. They probably are cousins. And so he's dropping some names to tell sort of the background, the situation. The days of Josiah were the last good days in Judah. They were the last days that God could bless. And therefore now Zephaniah is prophesying, and he's prophesying about some bad days, some days that are going to lead to the destruction of Judah. And so he begins his scary prophecy. Notice in verse 2, I will utterly consume all things from off the land, saith the Lord. I will consume man and beast. I will consume the fowls of the heaven and the fishes of the sea and the stumbling blocks with the wicked. And I will cut off man from off the land, saith the Lord. I will also stretch out my hand upon Judah and upon all the inhabitants of Jerusalem. And I will cut off the remnant of Baal from this place, and the name of the Chemerims with the priests. Now he says there from this place, probably referring to Jerusalem. We happen to believe that Zephaniah probably lived in Jerusalem, probably around the royal family, probably again friends with his cousin Josiah. And so he frequented, he knew the temple, he was familiar with the feast, he knew all of that. And yet he gives these shocking words, and he's saying this about Jerusalem and Israel. He says, listen, God is about to bring a storm, and a storm that is going to totally destroy, notice he says, the land, and the men on the land, the animals on the land, the fish in the sea, the birds in the air. In other words, it almost sounds like destruction of apocalyptic proportion. I mean, you think about that. You say, preacher, why would he do that? Well, you notice that he drops some names. Some names that are basically indicators of sin still in the land. Notice he drops the name of Baal. Baal was a false god. We know about Baal from the days of Ahab and Jezebel. Verse number 4. Notice also, this is an interesting one, the Chemerims. Now the word Chemerims is actually a transliteration. It's really a word that is describing here sort of a secretive false worship. The word Chemerim actually describes black. And it is thought that there was, while the priests that were serving God were dressed in white, that there was always an occultic. And by the way, you've got to understand that this man Zephaniah was probably a little bit older than his cousin Josiah. And therefore, he had been around during some of the evil days of Manasseh. Manasseh was probably the most satanic king Judah ever had. He was involved in all sorts of things. He was involved in, of course, worship of the sun, moon, and stars. He was also involved in the occultic sacrifice of children. And therefore, he probably had seen firsthand. Now, it's interesting that Josiah, during the days of Josiah, that there's a discovery made. The discovery is the Word of God. As Josiah, and by the way, we find that Hilkiah happens to discover a book in the temple, a book that is the Word of God, and that book brings revival as Josiah preaches, and he repents and declares that, listen, we're going to cleanse the land. And so all of that is good, but in the meantime, Zephaniah makes a discovery of his own. And he discovers that while there's some good, there's also some sin going on behind the scenes. You see, these Chemerim, these false priests, that they are secretly worshiping the devil. They are secretly, we notice, by the way, dropping the names here. Verse number 5, the host of heaven and Malcolm, that is a variation of Molech, the god of child sacrifice. There were probably child sacrifices going on during the days of Josiah. And Josiah, even a good king. But here we find that in the midst of this, there's still a lot of evil, a lot of wickedness, a lot of sin, corruption. And we've got to realize that even today. You know, sometimes I think we put our heads in the sand and we just assume That just because we're in church, that everybody around us is doing right. And by the way, that's not the case. In fact, I'll be honest with you, sometimes when we're not in church, we're not doing right either. And there's all sorts of sin. And listen, God sees, God knows everything that's happening. So here's Josiah. He comes and tries to cleanse the land, but Zephaniah sees the heart of the people, the heart of the land. And what he announces is a storm is coming. Notice he calls it the day of the Lord. We've talked about that last week. Notice in Zephaniah 1 and verse number 7, hold thy peace at the presence of the Lord God, for the day of the Lord is at hand. For the Lord hath prepared a sacrifice, he hath bid his guests. Notice also verse number 14, the great day of the Lord is near. It is near and hasteth greatly, even the voice of the day of the Lord, the mighty man shall cry there bitterly. We talked about this last week, but the day of the Lord is really God's judgment. It's his visitation. It encompasses certainly the tribulation. It encompasses all the time that God is visiting prior to the second coming of Christ. We find that other prophets also mention this. That's why, by the way, I think it's very pertinent today for us to bring out and dust off the words, the day of the Lord. In a day that it seems like, everybody's worried about, who's going to run for president next time? And is the Senate going to turn? Is the House going to turn? And worried about, are we ever going to get over COVID? Are we going to this? Are we going to do that? Listen, I think you and I, we also need to get our eyes a little bit bigger, a little bit broader and say, listen, what is God going to do? Because that's really the real question. It is talked about in other prophets such as Isaiah and Jeremiah, Ezekiel. We mentioned last week the prophet Joel, Amos, and Obadiah, Zechariah, and Malachi. In addition to Zephaniah, they all mention the day of the Lord. The day of the Lord is scary. His prophecy is scary. It's a prophecy that you even find in the verses that we read. It's described as an evil supper. Or maybe I shall say here a supper that you wouldn't want to be a part of. Notice, by the way, and we'll just simply take our Bibles and turn to Revelation 19. Because I happen to think that what Zephaniah is prophesying about is then repeated in the prophecy of John in the book of Revelation when John sees a great supper. A great supper where two feasts are contrasted. We haven't gotten to this part of the book of Revelation, but John has revealed to him that at the end times, that there's going to be an invitation to one of two places, either the marriage supper of the Lamb, now that's a good one, that's the one I'm going to be at, or what's called the Great Supper. One is the legitimate, rightful meal of the bride and the groom, the supper of the Lamb. The other one is the illegitimate one, the one for the unsaved. We find that at the end of the tribulation, there is a massive slaughter. And Jesus defeats the Antichrist and his armies with a slaughter, and it's described almost like a buzzard buffet. That's why I even put a little buzzard there. But notice how it's phrased here in Revelation 19. Verse number 17 says, and I saw an angel standing in the sun. And he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, come and gather yourselves together unto the supper of the great God, that ye may eat the flesh of kings and the flesh of captains and the flesh of mighty men and the flesh of horses and of them that sit on them and the flesh of all men, free and bond, both small and great. If you go back to Zephaniah, you'll find that he seems to be describing the same thing. He describes a great supper. He describes that the inhabitants of the land, even the land of Israel, might even be part of this. Now, notice back in verse number 4 there, Zephaniah again, he says, I will also stretch out mine hand upon Judah. Zephaniah 1 verse 4, and upon all the inhabitants of Judah and upon all the inhabitants of Jerusalem. Now you say, preacher, this does not make sense. After all, Israel is God's nation. Israel is the apple of his eye. By the way, I wouldn't disagree with that, but can I just simply talk to you about God and Israel for a second? Because you and I need to understand a little secret, and that is this. God will only bless Israel if Israel is deserving God's blessing. That promised land, that's only if they lived according to his promises. That's only if they lived worthy of being blessing. God also said you can choose cursing, and they have. A couple of thoughts to clarify, yes, Israel is God's chosen nation. They are the seed of Abraham. Yet they have this unique relationship with God. But God judges them. And I need to remind you of something, and you can see this over the course of history. There have been times when God has judged Israel almost more severely than anybody else, to the point where it's just short of annihilation. God never allowed them to be wiped out. But there's several times when it came close. There's several, and by the way, you know, that's sort of like, you know, the way you would look at, you know, for instance, your children. You would certainly, you know, if there's, you know, a group, and a group of, you know, people that are misbehaving, and some of those, they bear your name, you probably would deal a little bit more severely with your children, I would assume. God does that with the nation of Israel. You see, by the way, again, I'm pointing out to you that, you know, sometimes we need to remind ourselves that God may judge Israel again. You know, there's a story in the Bible that I think we sometimes fail to realize. I believe all of the stories in the Bible, they're there for examples. They oftentimes are also there for patterns. For instance, have you ever considered the story of Job? And the story of Job in relationship to a pattern of prophecy. The story of Job is rather simple. It's a man that God blesses. And God has blessed them beyond imagination to the point where when there is this encounter between Satan, Satan is in the presence of God, and God says, Satan, where have you been? He says, going to and fro. He says, have you considered my servant Job? And Satan says, yeah, that servant, the one that you put a hedge about, the one that you protect, listen, you just simply take away that hedge and you allow him to be tried, you allow him to be go through suffering, and if you take that hedge away and you touch his life, then all of a sudden he will curse you and the challenge is made. What happens? What happens is this: God allows Job to be afflicted short of losing his life. Everything else is taken away. His possessions are taken away. His society standing is taken away. Everybody looks down upon him. His health is taken away. His children die. And Job suffers the loss of all things, and yet Job's life is still intact. Now, there's this discussion that goes on certainly during the book of Job, but I would point out to you that God made sure that he could be touched, but not his life, short of losing his life. Well, what happens? Then God blesses him again. And when God blesses Job again, he blesses him doubly so that he has twice what he had in the beginning. Do you realize that that is actually a pattern of the way that God, I think, is going to even treat Israel? See, that nation has... And I've seen this again. You know, I've heard preachers sometimes, you know, say, Israel can never lose. That's not true. You take God away from them, they can lose every single time. They only win when God decides they're going to win. And I'm going to believe that there that may even come in the future here. You know, I thought about it. Again, I'm just being transparent and honest with you here tonight. I haven't even announced this here to our deacons, but we had one other of our missionaries that... is now just being redesigned, relocated, reled, a different field. It happens to be another missionary from Israel, to the point where now, as we get ready here to start 2022, we, First Baptist Church, I'm telling you, will have no missionary presence in Israel. None. Missionaries have basically been, it's become hard. They have, and I can tell you, they've been boxed out. COVID has conveniently become here an enterprise to keep and to move them out. They can't meet the requirements for the visas and everything else, and places shut down. And you know, I could just tell you story after story. I said this to one of our missionaries not too long ago, and I said, listen, I wonder if maybe God isn't removing the missions from the land at a time prior to the second coming. Now, again, I happen to believe the rapture is the next thing on God's calendar. But I'm simply telling you here that God at one time wrote Ichabod upon the land when, during the days of Samuel and the sons of Eli, when they did wrong, then there was a little boy that was born Ichabod, and the glory of the Lord can depart from Israel. I'm simply saying that Zephaniah says, listen, it may seem like things are going well. It may seem like we're prosperous, and during the days of Josiah, here's a day, and it seemed awkward because revival seemed like it was taking place, but while there was revival, there was still sin. There was still wrong. There was still Satan working. That there was still all of that. That therefore, you have in Zephaniah's prophecy that there is a call to repent. Chapter 2 is a call to repent and seek shelter in the Lord. Verse number 2 of chapter 2, seek ye the Lord, all ye meek of the earth, which have wrought his judgment, seek righteousness, seek meekness. It may be ye shall be hid in the day of the Lord's anger. What can we learn from Zephaniah? I want you to imagine, by the way, a real storm is approaching. And imagine this storm, you can see it maybe, like from the rear of the vehicle, the storm is coming toward you. Now we've been taught this, we do it in our schools, we do it at work, that we have those drills that if ever there's a real storm, we've got, on our phone. We've got those alerts that all of a sudden are going to come up. If there's some storm, I guarantee you, by the way, before I could even announce it, all of you here, you probably would know it from those alerts. What do? Seek shelter. You seek a safe place, whether it be a place in the lower part of the building, maybe your house, maybe, that southwest corner of your building, wherever it is. If you're out in the open, at least get out of your vehicle. It's not safe to be there. Find a ditch, find a low spot. You try and seek the best place of shelter you can. What can we learn? Let me say three things here tonight. From Zephaniah, we learn that first of all, the day of the Lord approaches. The day of the Lord approaches. Now, I will tell you, by the way, one of my favorite verses as we finish off the year 2021, as we get ready for a new year, is this one promise of God. It's found in 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse number 9. Now listen to how this is phrased. It's phrased this way, for God hath not appointed us to wrath. Can I just simply say, I believe that's a synonym for the tribulation. God has not appointed us for the tribulation. You and I who are saved. Now, by the way, this doesn't mean anything to you if you haven't trusted Christ as Savior. Therefore, you want to listen to my second point. Because my second point is this, it is important to know that you are saved. Listen, if you're not saved, you're not safe. And you're not safe, not only are you not safe for all of eternity, but I'm here to tell you that when the rapture happens, you're going to be left behind. And you're going to be left behind, and it's going to be an awful, awful day. You think about here, we have the final Sunday of 2021, but there will come a final service at First Baptist Church. And after that, the pulpit is going to be silent, no more live streaming, nothing at all. There'll be no more message. Now, I appreciated Brother Sunday and his testimony here tonight, but there'll be no more Bible that's going to be preached. It's going to be finally into the day of the Lord. When that happens, it's going to be too late. It's going to be too late. That's why it is important that you and I, that we know for sure that we are saved. That's why I also, by the way, I wanted our final day in 2021 to show that film, Before the Wrath. I trust many of you will come. And if nothing else, just see it here to be reminded that Jesus will come again someday. And that's why if you're not saved, I want to encourage you, it's not too late. There's still time. We'll have another invitation. And I'd invite you to trust Christ as your Savior. But let me just say, number three, based on what Zephaniah says, that you and I, if we're saved, we need to stay close to God. I do not believe if you are saved that you can lose your salvation, but you can drift. And many have. That's one of the things. Make it your goal, just always be in church. It's very easy all of a sudden if you get out of church once to get out of church twice. And three times, four times. You say, well, listen, I just don't feel quite well. Well, listen, you take some precautions if you need to, but I'm simply saying that there's many times when there's nothing wrong, that won't be helped by you coming to church and hearing the Word of God. That you and I, we need to realize that all it takes is just one momentary slip. And all of a sudden we're looking at the wrong things. We're hanging around the wrong crowd. By the way, you moms and dads, I would just venture to say, I know there's a lot of criticism. A lot of people say, well, my kids, you know, they grew up in church and they turned out wrong. And, you know, I'll tell you what, there's a lot of kids that went to church and they turned out right. Don't you listen to all of the naysayers and the critics. Listen, it's right to bring your church, your children to church. You bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. That's what the Bible teaches. You and I, we need to realize that we need to stay close to God in this day. When, can't you see it? Can't you see we're drawing close? Can't you see we're drawing nigh? Can't you see where the end? Zephaniah, that's why I think of Zephaniah, he's very practical to today. Because when a lot of people are just putting it off, and again, just they're going to be turning around this week and they're going to be celebrating New Year's Eve. And they're going to be partying. And they're going to be getting drunk and they're going to go on and they're celebrating and the rest of it as if there is never a judgment. You know what you and I ought to be doing? We ought to be getting on our knees on Friday night. We ought to be thanking God that we're saved. We ought to be praying for our children, praying for our church, praying for our nation, praying for the unsaved. We ought to be doing that. Why? Because the day of the Lord is drawing nigh. Zephaniah, very practical. When the storm is coming, seek shelter. The hymn writer said, the Lord's our rock, in him we hide. A shelter in the time of storm. Let's have every head bowed and every eye closed. Just a moment, I'm going to have Val.